Well, I think you have it exactly right. Looking, describing the property, but not describing the person or persons you are looking for, or looking not to rent to. So while there are lists that can be found. In fact, there is a document called the Actenberg Memo, which sets out guidance regarding advertisements. That's on our website. Really, it's more a combination of words and a general totality of an advertisement. Sometimes it's pretty clear. If an advertisement says seeking white roommate or Chinese only or no children, no Muslims, that's pretty clear.
Right.
But there are other times when there's not an absolute prohibition, but Christian preferred, for example, is another way of showing discrimination. On the other hand, there are some who would take it even farther and include other types of ads, saying, "Oh, perfect for a couple." Now, it could be perfect for a couple, but that doesn't mean that a single person wouldn't necessarily be allowed to move in. It is something that we would have to investigate and look at all the circumstances, look at the past history of that landlord, look at who's in the building, look at who's been accepted and who's been rejected for tenancy and occupancy. So it's sometimes a little bit dangerous to be wrapped up on this specific word, but really have to look at the overall context.
So that's the first time I've been aware that you actually sometimes go beyond the actual language in the ad to look at the history of the landlord when you're making a determination in a close call, a close situation.
Well, as we would do that as to the landlord, we would not necessarily do that to the newspaper. The newspaper is not obligated to check the accuracy and the truthfulness of the ad. Their obligation is to make sure that the ad is not discriminatory.
And so if you had a situation where there was language that was a little unclear, how do you deal with that when you have a media entity that is involved in this?
Well, as I said, the media entity is not required to look at the veracity of claims made by a housing provider placing an advertisement. But they are there to look at the ad.
Okay. So really, it's their responsibility to make sure that they're comfortable with the language that's in the ad they run.
Yes, and again, they can call us up at 1-800-669-9777. We can help them work through any particular problem.
Oh, that's good. And we will be posting on our website the link to the Actenberg letter that you mentioned, because I do think that's helpful to our members.
Great.
Well, let me take a little break here, and we'll come back because I have a couple of additional questions I'd like to ask you before we quit today.
Missouri Press can help your newspaper and your salespeople make more money. If you aren't taking advantage of the ad networks through the Missouri Press Service, you're missing chances to make money. A new podcast from the Missouri Press Foundation with Missouri Press ad director Greg Baker details these advertising revenue opportunities from the 2x2 display network to the classified ad network, Mighty Mo, and the online ad network. Don't let another day go by without listening to this podcast. You can find the program at www.mopress.com on the podcast page. And after you've listened, forward the link to all of the salespeople in your office so they can learn about new prospects and new products to sell to increase revenue at your newspaper.
Now that we're back from the break, let me ask you a question that often is puzzling to me. Are there rules that are different when you're dealing with rental property than when you're dealing with real estate sales advertising? In other words, when you're describing a rental property, is the language any different than when you're describing real estate sales property?
No, the Fair Housing Act covers both sale and rental of housing. It also covers lending as well.
So if you've got an advertisement from a financial institution on making loans, that kind of language needs to be watched too.
That's correct.
Although I would assume that perhaps that's not as frequent a problem as it is with individuals renting houses, primarily because you've got individuals rather than businesses involved, and so they're more likely to be making mistakes than a business that actually understands what the law is and is used to dealing with that.
I wouldn't necessarily draw that conclusion. The businesses do make mistakes, and they do some of their marketing in ways that does not provide equality to everybody. I'd have to say, though, that you are correct that the rental transactions are far more than sales transactions and lending transactions. So we do see a lot more rental cases than anything else.
Okay. The other issue that comes up frequently is dealing with housing that's in the senior citizens program. We frequently get ads for units that have in it 55 and older as part of the description. And I get a lot of calls about that from our members struggling with what they need to do to ensure that the advertiser is in a valid program. Do they have to have some kind of a signed document that affirms that, yes, they're qualified to make that kind of a request in their ad? I don't really have a strong understanding of how that program works and what we need to be watching for. Can you help our members with that?
Certainly. We have added since 1988, a prohibition against discrimination against families with children. So if there are properties that say adults only, or if there's actual ads that either practices or ads that say, in fact, no children, that's something that would violate the law. Where there is an exception with properties that are specifically designed to serve as senior citizen housing complexes for tenants age 55 and older. And those are specifically designed, and they're both designed and the tenants are of that age, with a couple of exceptions. Those are exempt from that aspect of the law. The obligation for a publisher is not to check the veracity of whether the housing provider actually provides housing for older persons. So generally, HUD would not accept complaints against publishers who publish ads for such housing. We would direct our enforcement to the actual housing provider. Itself, rather than the publisher. However, if a publisher has actual knowledge that the housing community doesn't conform to the Act's Housing for Older Persons requirements and regulations, then the publisher may be liable for publishing an ad that discriminates against families with children. So actual knowledge would trump our general feeling that it's not the publisher's obligation to check. But if the publisher knew that the ad was false, then that would be a different situation.
That's really helpful. That clarifies it in my mind, and it should make a lot of our members breathe a little easier, because we've been struggling with whether we needed to have some kind of a signed release to make advertisers sign. So it sounds like as long as we have no knowledge that they're breaking the law, we're probably fine to go ahead and rely on what they tell us.
That's correct. And I would say most publishers get it right. There are examples when they don't get it right, and if it's a matter of relying on the housing provider, that's all right. But again, if there's actual knowledge, then it takes it into a different realm.
Well, I appreciate you being with us today. It's been very helpful to have you discuss these questions. Again, do you want to give the number one more time that our members can call if they have questions and need to talk to someone?
Yes, your members can call 1-800-669-9777, and we can answer their questions on the Fair Housing Act.
Thanks so much again, John, for being with us today.
Thank you very much.
Thanks to John Trasvina, Assistant Secretary for Fair Housing and Equal Opportunity, for joining Gene on today's legal podcast. Links to the resources mentioned in this program can be found at www.mopress.com on the podcast page. A valuable benefit of membership in the Missouri Press Association is legal hotline services. Active members may contact Gene directly for advice and answers to legal issues. You can find contact information for Gene on the Missouri Press Association website at www.mopress.com. The website also provides links to Gene's blog and current and back issues of the Missouri Press News magazine, which features a monthly column by Gene. Thanks for listening to today's legal podcast from the Missouri Press Foundation.